If there was ever magic to be found on this earth, this sometimes wretched, unremarkable earth, it's when I'm standing on the shore of Lake Michigan, the cold water dancing with my bare toes, and I'm looking at a lit up sky. It's not alight with stars, or fireworks, or a big bright full moon, but lanterns. Paper lanterns with people's wishes written on the side, carried into the never-ending dark night by a fire inside that matches the fire inside the sender's heart. What could be more magical than a sky aglow with wishes and dreams? That's a quote from When You Wish Upon a Lantern by Gloria Chow. This is YA Book Chat, and I'm your host, Leah Stuhler.
These days, more authors are including mental health content in their books. But do you ever wonder how accurate some of this stuff is?
Or do you ever read something where you know the author just gets it?
I'm Elise.
And I'm Priscilla.
And we are Novel Feelings, a podcast where we discuss mental health issues in fiction novels.
We are psychologists and book lovers, and we have a lot of opinions.
So look for Novel Feelings wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to your show.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of YA Book Chat. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. And of course, as always, thank you so much to my Patreon members who support me every month and help keep the podcast going. Today, we are going to be chatting about a new book. This actually was just released in February of this year. And I can honestly tell you that this has actually been my favorite read of 2023 so far. It's an absolutely fantastic book and such a fun read. So we are going to be talking about When You Wish Upon a Lantern by Gloria Chow. And my guest today is my friend Morgan. Hey Morgan, how are you?
Hi Leah. I am happy to be here.
You guys, I made Morgan read this book because Morgan likes romance books and this is a contemporary romance. So and I was like, well, I didn't make her, but I was like, do you want to read this with me? It'll be fun. And I think she's super glad that she did.
I did. I kept like, because Leah finished it first. And then I kept like spamming her with like, oh my gosh, this part was so cute. Oh my gosh, this part was so cute. Like it was adorable.
I'm telling you, this is so fun. Like I've read other books this year that I really, really liked a lot. And like, I'm actually going to be covering The Luminaries coming up as well. And I loved that book, but it's a totally different feel to it. But this one was definitely my happy book and my favorite read so far this year, because it just gave me like all the feels, and it was just so fantastic in so many ways.
Yeah, it was very warm and fluffy. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just so cute and so like such a heartwarming read. Like, seriously.
It is. It really is. So, before we get into it, what are you currently reading?
I am currently listening to Dial A for Aunties. And before that, so I just started this audiobook. And before that, I was just finishing up Iron Widow, which is, oh my God, amazing. It was so good.
Nice. Sounds very good. I'm only reading one book right now, which is weird. I need to get on the audiobook. I actually just got four free audiobook sent to me by Macmillan. So I'm like super excited because now they're doing this like new kind of program for influencers. And so they were like, here, pick from these. We'll send you four free audiobooks. And I was like, okay, sure. Not going to say no. So I've got to start one of those. And I just started reading last weekend a brand new book called Made of Stars. I have the ARC. I've had it forever, but I just started it because I had other stuff that I needed to read first. But it's like Bonnie and Clyde in outer space. It's really fun so far. It's like teenager Bonnie and Clyde, you know, doing all the Bonnie and Clyde thievery type things, but it takes place in space. So it's a sci-fi setting. So it's really fun. Very interesting so far.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That does sound exciting.
Yeah, I haven't read a sci-fi book in a while, so it was time to get back into it.
Yeah, it had been a while for me, and then I started Iron Widow, and like it's just a different kind of a headspace because I'm just so used to like fantasy, and they're not all that different. They have like different aspects to them, and like I mean that book had me wrapped. Like I was at attention like the whole book because I'm listening to the audiobook. And like I'm in the middle of working, and then like at times I would have to like pause what I was doing at work to like focus on the audiobook for a minute. And like it really should be the opposite, but no one tell my employer.
It's It should be the opposite, but it's okay. I'll have to check that one out. I haven't read that one yet.
It's wild.
Always have this thing when I read sci-fi, and so this is happening right now with Made of Stars. Like, because you read these things, and of course your imagination goes wild and you picture all the things in your head, right? So when I read sci-fi though, and they're talking about their like spaceships and whatever, and how they're traveling around from planet to planet or moon to planet or whatever, right? I always have this thing because I am both a Star Trek and a Star Wars person. I always have this
Oh my
battle
gosh.
in, right? Like, I always have this battle in my head when they describe like their star cruises or whatever. I'm like, okay, does this look more like a Star Trek one or like a Star Wars one? And I'm trying to like picture in my head, which ship might this be? Which universe am I living in my head for this book? So it's
Yeah,
like,
no, at least you have something for point of reference.
yes, I
Cause
do.
like, cause I like, I have watched some of the Star Wars movies, and I've been in the room while Star Trek was on TV. So like, I'm familiar with both, but I'm not as familiar with like the ships and whatnot. So not gonna lie, the spaceship in the Lunar Chronicles, for the longest time, I was picturing it looking like the red spaceship from Futurama. And like, was just what I was picturing. And then like imagining that landing on the farm. And
That's
like,
hilarious.
yeah. So like, at least you have like better point of reference.
Do.
Well, for me, for Iron Widow, it's actually based on like mecha anime, so like Gundams and whatnot. So I've seen enough Gundam shows or like mecha shows, so like I can picture what these suits look like.
That's good.
Think like Power Rangers suit,
Oh,
like
nice.
the Zoid. So like the, where they're inside the machine. So like. That's what I'm picturing as like a cross between Power Rangers and Gundam and Darling in the Franxx.
That's
It's like all
awesome.
the things that I'm picturing for this one.
If
So
I could see that like visually put out like paper or something in a drawing, that would be fantastic.
yeah.
Oh, but it does sound fun. It does sound fun. This book was a little bit different visually. We didn't have any spaceships, but it's fine. Just beautiful lanterns. Actually, I kind of pictured for parts of this like Tangled.
Tangled.
Yes,
Yes. No,
Tangled.
I kept picturing Tangled because you cannot not get Tangled vibes from that cover.
No,
Like
not at all.
the color palette, the lanterns, like it is definitely like different, but it gives off the same vibes just like looking at it.
It is, and I love it. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about this book. So, again, this is When You Wish Upon a Lantern by Gloria Chow, and it just came out in February of this year. All right. I'll give you a plot overview. And in case this is your first time listening, and just as a refresher for all of my regular listeners, we will do the first like 15-ish minutes spoiler free. And then after that, we will hop into spoilers, but I'll be sure to give you a warning before that happens, just in case you haven't read this book. All right, let me read for you guys what this is. Leah and Kai had been best friends since they were little kids. But all that changed when a humiliating incident sparked the biggest misunderstanding of all time, and they haven't spoken since. Then Leah discovers her family's wishing lantern store is struggling, and she decides to resume a tradition she had with her beloved late grandmother, secretly fulfilling the wishes people write on the lanterns they send into the sky. It may boost sales and save the store, but she can't do it alone, and Kai is the only one who cares enough to help. While working on their covert missions, Leah and Kai rekindle their friendship, and maybe more. But when their feuding families and their changing futures threaten to tear them apart again, can they find a way to make their own wishes come true? Oh, it's so fun. Such a sweet story. Also, I am going to say, like, okay, we all know if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you are familiar with how I cannot pronounce things. And since I have lately read a lot of books that have been based on like Chinese or like Japanese culture, we know that I'm really bad at these type of words. However, I will say Leah's name, super fun and easy for me to pronounce. Why? Because it says in the book that her parents named her this and that it's pronunciation because it's close to the English name of Leah. And so seeing as how that's my name, this is one character's Asian name I can actually pronounce. So there was that. Thank you, Gloria Chow.
I did a win.
Yay. Plus Kai, of course, because hello, Kai, Lunar Chronicles. So
yeah, no, I was just thinking, wait, I was just trying to figure out if I made up his name or not. I was like, wait, was his name really Kai? Or
yeah,
am I
it
thinking
is.
Lunar Chronicles?
No. And like the whole time that I was reading this book, I literally had to like keep my head from hopping over to the Lunar Chronicles because his name is Kai and that's all I could think about.
Yeah, no, that's the first, like, I think that's the first time I'm realizing that connection, which is shocking for me, honestly.
It is a little surprising. I'm not surprised. And if Bethany's listening right now, she's going to be like, what? Morgan?
Exactly. I know. We're same. We're same.
Oh. Well, tell me kind of what your overall thoughts on this book were.
Oh my God, that was so cute. It's like the epitome of my entire reaction. Like I was looking at the notes that you sent and I'm just like, the first thing I put on my notes was like, so cute, multiple exclamation points. But like, there's no other words that you could use. Like, cute, adorable, sweet, like that's about it. Like those are all that you need to describe this book.
Pretty much. I legit posted on Instagram and my Instagram stories multiple times as I was reading through it. Like, this is the best and cutest young adult contemporary romance I've ever read. And it's fantastic. And I love it. And this is adorable.
Yes.
And I tagged Gloria Chow each time I did it because I was like, I want you to know how much I love this book and how sweet and cute and adorable it is.
It is. It really is. And no, I'm so glad you asked me to help out with this one.
Cause I legitimately like just within like the first two pages was like, this is so sweet already, you know, like it's just from start to finish. It's just so, it's happy. It's fun. It's just adorable. And even like when the like challenges do come up, it still just has that like hopeful feeling to it. And it's just sweet and adorable because they still have these feelings for each other and they're still thinking all these sweet, cute things about each other. And what makes it really fun too is that, so it's best friends to lovers, but not only that, it's not like just we're best friends and we've been best friends for a few years. No, it's like childhood best friends, which is even cuter because then you picture like, you know, little four-year-olds playing together and how fun and cute that is. You know, like oh my goodness, it's just so perfect.
Yeah, no, I like They are so sweet to each other, and like the amount that they care for each other outside of like one liking the other, like they really care about their friendship so much, and like almost consider each other family. And it's just so sweet, like them having that relationship as a starting point. Like,
yeah,
I can't.
And I love how it is like the incident that this is not a spoiler in case you haven't read it, because this literally happens on the third page. So I love that like the incident is that she throws up all over him.
No, but you have to go into detail with it. He makes her, because they're such good friends, they have so many inside jokes, and he makes her laugh so hard she inhales a boba from her drink, chokes on it, and then proceeds to puke all over him. So she, like that, if that just like sets the scene for the incident, and then she just runs away and leaves him to clean it up is the best part.
That is hilarious. I do love that, and the man whose store it is too, Mr. Tang, which is so funny. So funny. I just was like, this is the best way ever to start the story. Cause that's how it starts. She's super embarrassed. And we start at the festival and she's like, oh no, there's Kai. I haven't talked to him since the incident when I threw up on him, but we're best friends and I don't know what to do. I didn't mean for it to go on this long, but it kind of has now. Like, cause it's just it's one of those things. And that's how it happens.
It is
really cute because she's so embarrassed, and I love it. And he's embarrassed too, but for a different reason, which I won't say yet because that comes a little bit later and I don't want to spoil that yet. But yeah, so, but it's just, it's so fun because they have all the little things that they do with how they play charades with each other through the windows. And then they have their like quote unquote magic carpet. He always makes her like this special, gives her a treat from the bakery. And then I love that like they have the connection about, you know, her grandmother.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Which is
cry.
So sweet too. I know. This is another reason I really like this too, because I had a very close and special relationship with my grandmother. So reading about this with Leah and her relationship with her grandmother too was really great. It was good to read, almost like therapeutic in a way. And also too, with how her grandmother really loved Kai as well. My grandmother loved my best friend. And that was always a really big deal to me. And, you know, like my best friend would come over my grandparents' house and spend time together and with them. Like, it was like Kai and Leah, you know, with her grandmother. So it was really sweet. It's kind of a nostalgic little bit for me too with it. But
yeah, that was super sweet. Like, the relationship that she had with her grandmother, and then the relationship that Kai had with her, like that was super sweet. And like after, unfortunately, like after she lost her grandmother, like that was what she felt like a connection to her was the relationship that she had with Kai and with her grandma. So it like was a connection to them or to her outside of outside of just your parents.
Yeah. Which I loved, because you need, you know, you need those kind of connections too when somebody that close to you passes away. And she's, well, I'll say that later. I'll save that for later. Never mind. Almost spoiled something. I don't want to do that. Another thing that I really enjoyed about this book was that there's so much that we learn about Chinese culture and traditions. And I really, really loved that, because I've visited like a few other countries or whatever, but I'm always interested to learn more about other cultures and their traditions and what things are like. So I really enjoyed getting all these different aspects of it. It was just fun. And it takes place in Chicago, in Chinatown, where I used to live in Chicago, and I've been to Chinatown a few times. So that was kind of fun too, because then I could kind of like picture some things. It was, I will say though, what's funny about it is that it's while it takes place in Chicago in Chinatown, it's not really super specific about the neighborhood. So it's like just vague enough that it doesn't have to, it could be almost anywhere, really.
Well, and wasn't the lake made up?
Yes, it was. That was not a real lake.
Okay, no. That was what I thought.
Chicago is on the lake, one of the Great Lakes. Don't ask me right now which one, because I don't know. I only lived there for 11 years. I only lived there for 11 years. I should know this. Because I went to the lake and then went crossed over to Michigan and we went to the lake on that side. Anyway, I should know. But yeah, the lake is, it's one of the Great Lakes. So yeah, this is, and this spot in the book is made up. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, but that's okay. It just, because it's these spots that they have in here are really cute. And here's what I'm going to say. For a book like this, you need to have like the cutesy fun spots, like with the little bridge, you know, the bridge. Mm-hmm. And where they set off the lanterns, like you need to have those cute spots. And being honest, Chicago doesn't have a lot of those. I mean, there are some, I'm not going to, but I don't know, but they're different. They're not. So yeah. So I feel like these spots that she kind of made up for the story were great.
Okay, cool.
I'm good with them not being real places in Chicago. It's fine. I think something else that really makes this book a lot of fun is, and I know you like this too, because you messaged me about it, is how much Kai is so into her.
Yes. Like,
so very apparent from his first chapter that we get in his perspective. Like, so very apparent. And it's so adorable.
Yeah, no, the mutual pining got me. Like, oh my gosh. And then, like, you can also understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. Because they're, like, so both into each other. But, like I said earlier, like, they consider each other family. So, like, the fear that the other wouldn't reciprocate and they might, like, ruin the relationship, like, that is a real legitimate fear.
Yeah.
We aren't childhood friends, but, like, my husband and I were friends for years before we started dating. Mm-hmm. So, like, had it not worked out, it would have been really unfortunate because he was one of my best friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're lucky it did work out and we're still together 13 years later. But, like, yeah, I can understand those nerves and, like, being nervous about that.
Yeah. And I love Gloria Chow's writing and how she gives us those moments, because, like, we have a spot where Kai is thinking about how Leah would always come into the bakery because their parents' businesses are right next door to each other. And so she would always go into the bakery and he would make her like a special treat and have it ready for her with like a smiley face on top or something, you know, like a special, or like if he made her a latte, it would have like a picture in the foam. And he's always like, oh, that would be like the best part of my day. And then he says, no, it's actually second best part of my day after her actual visit. Like, it's just little things like that. And it's just so cute and so sweet. Like, and there's these tiny little like comments that she makes too about him, and like, oh, totally wasn't just checking out his arms. Nope. Mm-mm, wasn't. Yep.
No. The baker's arms. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm bowling every time they got brought up.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. So cute. So it's, and it, yeah. So like Gloria Chow's writing is just fantastic. It's so fun how she just puts these little like one-liners in there that like, you're like, oh, that's so funny, but like super cute, but also, oh my gosh, listen to what he's saying about her, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just all these,
he is so gone, like, oh, so gone for her.
Oh yeah, like there's no coming back at any point. It's too far, you're too over it. Like, we're not coming. Mm-hmm. I can't talk right now, but like there's no it's like you're drowning in a sea of love. Like, you can't, there's no coming back from this. We're done. So
yeah.
Somewhere in there was a coherent thought. I'm not sure where. If anybody could pick it out, let me know. That was Leah's mumbling of pretending to be coherent thoughts. Okay, this is what happens, friends, when you record things at like 9 o'clock at night.
See, when I was saying that it was like so cute, like that's the only thing you can say because like any other words get jumbled. Like,
exactly.
I wasn't just making it up.
No, it's true. It is very true because all of that was very jumbled and I'm not even going to edit that out. Okay.
Lucky listeners.
Yes, lucky you. All right. Okay. Well, I think we need to jump into spoilers now.
It's yes, been enough time. I need to talk about this.
Okay. So if you have not yet read When You Wish Upon a Lantern by Gloria Chow, please, if you don't want anything spoiled, this is where you're going to stop listening here. And then you go and read the book because it's really, really fun and you need to read it. And then after you read the book, come back and listen to the rest of the episode. But if you've already read the book or don't care about spoilers at all, then by all means, continue listening. All right, you have been warned. So one of the first things that I did want to talk about is the Chinese culture that she puts in here, because mm-hmm. The characters are Chinese American. And so it's just a huge part of the book, obviously. Okay, here's my favorite thing. Ready? She put in the beginning, like right even before chapter one, notes about Mandarin words and how to pronounce them. Now, am mm-hmm. I still going to be able to? Probably not. But I love that that's there because mm-hmm. it does help people like me.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like I tried reading through that portion and then like applying it while reading the book. And I was like, nope, brain is just going to bypass right over those. And then I'll just appreciate them from afar. Mm-hmm.
What we need to do now is listen to the audiobook to hear how it sounds.
Yeah, no, so. Definitely. That would so be helpful. Mm-hmm. But I am glad that I honestly read this one with my eyes because I go through audiobooks so quickly that like reading this one with my eyes made me actually like have to sit down and focus mm-hmm. on like what the author was saying and like what the characters were feeling. So it really put me more in the moment than the audiobook would, whereas the audiobook will definitely help for like pronunciation.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's why I do audiobooks, because we all know I can't pronounce anything to save my life. So.
Yeah, no. Have you seen that meme that's like, it's the two arms like holding hand or like not holding hands, but like when you're like yes and like agreeing with somebody and you've got almost like you're gonna arm wrestle mm-hmm. and it's like the audiobook listeners, the ones who can say the words, the book readers, the ones who can spell the words.
That's right.
And then it, like they come together.
That's hilarious. It's so true, though.
It is.
I liked, too, how she has the pronunciations. Then mm-hmm. she makes a note about how the tones of the Mandarin phrases in the book are depicted as pronounced in conversation with her family's accent. So it might be like mm-hmm. different from other accents and dialects, which I think is a really mm-hmm. important thing to note because, you know, there are so many, each language like has its own kind of dialect and different things. So that was really cool. But she did also mm-hmm. then, okay, so we have the pronunciation key at the beginning, which is fantastic. And then mm-hmm. at the end of the book is the glossary, which tells you about,
that was nice.
Right? I mean, that was really good. Now, a lot of the words you can figure out from context, mm-hmm. but it was nice to have the reference of them here as well. Cause some of them I was like, no, I do want to look that up too. So.
Yeah, no. And I ended up, cause I borrowed the book from the library, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I take so long to read with my eyeballs that the library took the book back. But I was smart enough to put my Kindle on airplane mode first. So they didn't actually take it back until like I took my tablet off airplane mode. But you
Nice.
know, like you can't like hold your finger down on words when you're on airplane mode. Like it won't tell you what the words mean. So then I was actually having to go to my phone and like type it in. I was like, I should have read the book sooner.
Oh man. But I don't know. I loved because it explains too, because there's, let's see, one, two, three, four different Chinese festivals that take place in this book. Can I just tell you, every time Liya said she was prepping for another festival, I was like, what? Wow, there's a lot. Like, and it was only four, but because the book takes place over, like, it's not over a huge span of time. So I was like, wow, I just didn't realize that there were so many. I mean, I think it's great. Like, I would love to like have all these festivals all the time. You know what I mean? Like,
Well,
let's.
and it was over like summertime, right? Yeah, so it's more likely to have like a lot of festivals all together at like summertime. But then you also had because I don't necessarily think they were all Chinese festivals, because like Kai's family was Taiwanese. So I think there may have been like combination festivals and whatnot. So that could be partially for like so many back to back.
And I like that, like one of them is kind of like the Mexican Dia de los Muertos. It's similar, where like they honor their ancestors who have passed. So, and then they have their like Chinese Valentine's Day festival. And what was really cool is that they had the Chinese folk tales in this too that I really liked. The
Oh, just
cowherd.
give me one more thing to cry about.
I
That folk
know.
tale.
I
Like,
know.
not only am I like tearing up because they're so cute, and then you give me that folk tale about the lovers being separated
I
for
know.
eternity, and like they get to be together one day a year every year.
I
I
know.
was a mess. I
I
was a mess.
know.
I'm like, I've heard like similar tales before, if not even that exact one. And like, it just, oh,
I
I
know.
am weak.
I
I'm
know.
weak. And that's one of my biggest things, and why I haven't read as many like traditional fantasies anymore, because I read a lot of like fantasy romance. It's just because like if I don't have assurance that they're gonna end up together at the end, like I can't handle it. Like I will know, like I will not be able to go on with my day.
Oh, we have to know. Okay, so I am now only going to end up recommending fantasy books where the romance works out to you.
Yes,
Okay, I won't
I
recommend
did.
anywhere that doesn't happen at the end because there are those.
There are those, and I am a baby. Like, I cannot handle
Oh
it.
my
Like,
goodness.
and like,
No.
I don't care if you spoil a book for me. Like, I'm still gonna read it either way.
True. Okay.
But like, that is one of my requirements.
Okay. All right. Good to know. I think so. Obviously, this is When You Wish Upon a Lantern, which is the name of her family's store, which is so cute. Or Once Upon a Lantern. Anyway,
Yeah,
so I
his Once
love,
Upon a Moon Cake.
yes, that's right. I love the whole wishing lantern thing. Like, how it's so cool, like that they to write your name, write your wish on the lantern and light it and then let it go. Like, and then there's like thousands of these, hundreds of these lanterns all up in the air or on the water, all at once. Like, so beautiful, such a beautiful picture. And I think that's such a fun way to like wish for something versus like, I'm gonna pick up this dandelion flower and blow on it. And hope that my wishes come true as the dandelions, as the seeds fly away. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we all did that growing up. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I just love this picture of like the lanterns and having the wishes written on them, you know, and flown away. It's so sweet. And of course, that's what our whole book is. Because, yeah.
Yeah, no, I loved the lanterns and the when they added in the water lanterns and the feature with her grandmother of the wish granting, and like
Yes.
that was a thing her and Lila did. Leah,
Leah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Leah.
It's like my name. Yep.
Yeah.
It
Yeah, so like I thought it was such a sweet thing that they got to do together. And like it was just so heartwarming, and they weren't trying to like, oh, we'll like grant these people wishes and they'll come back to make more wishes. It wasn't that. It was really like they cared about the people in their community and they wanted to do what they could to make the simple wishes come true.
Yeah.
So.
And I love that that's, what so she did with her grandmother, and then like her and Kai do it together because they do want to, keep this her store from closing, her family store from closing. But at the same time, it's like you said, they just really cared about helping people too. And it's like keeping her family store open would be a bonus because then when Kai's father decides to start selling lanterns in the bakery, and that's a whole thing. But then she even says, like, she's even like, well, it's okay. I don't mind because I want that tradition to be kept on. Like, if my family store is going to close, I want this tradition of the wish, people being able to make their wishes, and then Kai and I being able to grant wishes to keep continuing. And that's like really the sweetest part of it. 'Cause they're doing, not only are they like so head over heels for each other and all that cuteness, but then they're like doing this stuff together for these other people, like, 'cause they want to help them and they have this close-knit relationship in their community. And it's just so sweet.
It is, and it like I loved her relationship with the other woman that she was referring to as grandma. Like they had just such a really sweet relationship, and like that was what kicked off like her bringing back helping with the wish granting, and like ended up having her bring Kai in to help, and like he ended up, because he's missed out on not only her grandma but her for like quite some time now since they hadn't been talking, that like he was sad. Like I felt bad for him. Like his the family that he was used to, like he wasn't able to be with them as much anymore. And so like being brought into the wish making and them being able to do that together, and then helping the first person that they helped. And it was just super cute because like they like each other, and now they're trying to play matchmaker to get these other people together. It's just like, oh, and like
And let's just say it's not just anybody. It's like an elderly couple. Okay. Like their spouses have died. They're this older man, and what Mr. Tang is the one who owns the bubble tea shop where she threw up all over Kai. It's just so
He was there for
cute.
the
Oh my gosh. It's just so cute how the they want to get the woman and Mr. Tang together, and she's the lady's like, I wish for him to notice me, because I want to go out with him. And then when they do get them together, like, 'cause they, Kai and Leah plant all these fun, cute little like secret love notes and all the things, which is so adorable. Then the moon cake, the message inside the cake, which is super sweet. And then they go to Mr. Tang's, right? And she's there too. And he's making all these comments about her, and they're like, whoa, Mr. Tang, I didn't know you had it in you. And it's just so hilarious. It is so
and
adorable.
yeah, and the setup that they did, and then so they're kind of talking, hitting it off, almost like we're almost there, we're like so close. And she's like, let's say that they won a prize and they won a free lantern because Mr. Tang is cheap. And so like he won't pass up the free lantern. And so like they're like, yeah, you get this free lantern in honor of your date or something. I can't remember how they did it, but essentially they set it up as like a date. And so then he asked her out on the date and she said yes. And he's like, okay, I don't need the freelancer now. I just need to make sure you were going to say yes. It's just like,
so cute.
Oh, it's adorable.
I love it. It's just so cute. It's so sweet. And then how they wanted to help their friend Eric because he wanted to play basketball in college, but his parents were like, no, we don't want you to do that because we want you to focus on your academics. So I love how, like, you know, because Kai's dad has his group that comes. Thank you. I was trying to remember the name of it. His Mahjong group, and they come and like play in the bakery after hours and they gamble and whatever. And then, so he gets them started talking because the kid, Eric's dad, is there, and he gets them talking about basketball, about school and all the things. Like, he just plants this tiny little seed in his head. And then that like starts the whole thing. And then they let Eric's parents let him apply to the school so he can play basketball too. And it's so cool. And then, okay, let's not forget about the dog, the little kid who wanted the dog.
Oh, so obviously not everything can go smoothly.
No.
So she tries really hard and they're like, we have so many wishes and so little time. And she accidentally like breaks a little boy's heart because of course he wished for a dog. And then she hates, like, she doesn't hate animals. Let me take that back. She just dislikes icky things.
Yeah.
So animals are icky. So like, but she goes and volunteers at an animal shelter so that she can get a dog to like walk at, to coincide with like when the family goes for a walk, like she can be walking the dog and show them the dog. And like, it was a whole fiasco. And now the little boy is sad because his parents said, we can't afford the dog. And then now she has this like sad dog. She's like, okay, now I actually have to find this dog at home. So like, she gave herself more work to have to do.
And I mean, you know, in her defense, that was while her and Kai were separated for a bit because their dads got into that huge argument. Oh, because they caught them together.
Yes.
Okay, this was hilarious when their dads catch them together in the park and it looks like they're about to kiss, but they didn't. And I was like, dang it. But then the dads throw a fit because the dads don't like each other because one leaves his trash in the alley and the other one has to pick it up and all this stuff. They just have this feud, right? So they weren't together because their dads are like, oh, you can't, you know, see each other or whatever. So she tries to grant that wish about the little dog by herself. But, you know, obviously it doesn't work. She's like, I can't do it by myself. I'm hopeless without Kai. I need my partner. But I love how they end up fixing that one in the end, because that other lady was like lonely and wished for companionship or something. And so they end up bringing the dog, like, to, is it bingo? Like bingo night or something? At the
home. Yeah, they brought the dog to bingo while simultaneously setting up another couple.
Yes.
Another elderly couple at that.
Yeah. So then the lady is like, oh, so then she sees the dog and wants the dog. So she ends up adopting the dog. And then Leah's like, you know, you might need somebody to help you with the dog. Somebody who lives in your building maybe and can help you take it for walks. So then the little boy gets to help take care of the dog. So even though he doesn't have his own, he still gets to help with one, which is really cute.
No, that was super cute. What? And they were turning him into a little businessman.
Yeah.
Like getting his own little dog walking company.
Yeah.
Like
super cute. All right. Well, let's talk about all the fun, like Kai and Leah things and all the family stuff, because there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
They each kind of have like their own family baggage in a way. Like, because Leah's parents won't talk about her grandmother with her, because we find out, you know, they think that it would have upset her more than anything. So they don't ever mention her grandmother, and they don't tell her about the store because she finds that out when she looks in the mail. But they don't say anything about it to her. And then we have Kai's family, whose dad, his dad and his brother, like, don't treat him right. His dad acts like he, you know, he like treats his brother better, and like his brother's the all that and a bowl of cherries, right? And like, and then the horse, like,
Oh yes. Oh, that part was aggravating.
right?
Like the Kai's dad considers this racehorse to be his third child and treats the racehorse that he doesn't even have any actual connection to better than his own child.
Which is ridiculous. He's constantly abandoning Kai to go see this racehorse. Oh my
And
gosh.
like, wasn't one of them like a ceremony at school? Like he was getting an award or
Yes.
something.
Yeah. I will say though, the one thing about Kai's dad that I did think was really funny was the fishing vests.
Oh my God. So I work in promotional products. So I am used to like those kind of bulk orders for
Oh my
like
gosh.
uniforms and stuff like that. So like I understand the practice. But like I know you can't resell something with somebody else's logo on them, but he could have found someone local to take the old embroidery off and put new embroidery on. Like, are you
Probably.
kidding me?
Instead, he's like trying to like sell them all other places and go around and then hand them out here and there. You know what it reminded me of? So I am a really big Seinfeld fan and love Seinfeld. And there's an episode where George's, no, sorry, Jerry's dad like bought all these, he had all these old like raincoats, his old like trench coats that he had like tried to like have a business with selling, and he like then couldn't sell them. So it was like the same type of thing. And then Kramer finds out about it, and Kramer's like, oh, we can totally sell those. Let's get them, Morty and whatever. And so they go through this whole thing of like trying to sell the raincoats. It's
Oh
just like this.
God.
Yeah. So that's like, I don't know. But otherwise, his dad and his brother like really kind of aggravated me, especially when like, now I do have to say, when I was reading this, like very, I have a lot of similarities to Kai. Okay. So like when he's in the bakery and he's got his things put away in just the right spot, like you have to have them put away in just the right spots, and that's like it's his space, and because he's the one who runs the store. And then his dad and his brother come in and start moving and changing all the things. Like I was like, it was killing me. I was like, no, like I could feel that through the pages for Kai. And then look.
No. That was painful.
So I loved that moment where, like, when Liya was there and she got really mad, and she, like, about the when she found out about the lanterns, and she got really mad and goes out through the kitchen and then, like, puts stuff back in its place for Kai.
Now and then, no, that got me is like your son is doing all this work while you're off to go see this horse done, and then your other son is God knows where, and so he's been busting his butt for this bakery, and like I don't know, like there was just no appreciation for the work that he did.
No, because they kept telling him he did all this stuff wrong and shouldn't be giving out free samples or anything. And then his dad says that his Kai's brother is the one who's going to take over the business. And Kai's like, excuse me? I don't think so.
And that kind of got me with both families, that like they make these major decisions without discussing it with, like, they're the parent, they can make the decisions, but their children are not, like, it's not like they're 4 and 5 year olds. They're like older teenagers who can help with decision, or at the least should be made aware of these decisions that you're made and shouldn't just be like surprised with it.
Especially because they both have such a huge investment in each of in their family's stores.
Exactly. And like with Leah, like her, she was working herself to the bone, and that her parents didn't have a conversation with her about what they had decided to do. And to alleviate any worry that maybe she's having, or the expectation of, yes, we're going to have this store years from now. Because clearly, if they've been getting letters for a while, clearly this decision wasn't made like spur of the second. Like it was a decision that they came to, but they couldn't let her in on it until like they found out that she'd been struggling to keep the lantern shop. It just, her parents rubbed me the wrong way in that way. Like both sets of parents, both sets of parents like annoyed me, and like I felt so bad that like she missed her grandmother so bad. Like so much worse because of that, because she felt like she didn't have a relationship with her parents, because, and she started off the book with saying, my grandmother raised me, not my parents. So
that was the one like kind of sad aspect about the book. But otherwise, you know, happy fun.
Yeah, no. I mean, everything.
There has
really,
to have
everything
that
else
too,
was great.
For balance.
Yeah, you gotta have some kind of conflict.
And then, I mean, it does work out in the end, because she does finally, you know, after her and Kai have their argument, and he's like, "Well, you never talk to your parents about anything," you know, she finally realizes that he's right and does have that conversation with her parents, so that she finds out that, you know, the reason why they didn't bring up her grandmother, because they thought that it would be harder for her to talk about her grandmother. And then they said, you know, it was her grandmother's wish that Leah wouldn't necessarily take over the store, but would kind of discover her own path in life and do her own thing. And then, you know, so that really worked out. And then Kai ended up, you know, kind of being happy too, because he had always thought, well, I'm going to be a baker, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take over the bakery and run the bakery. But then he realized, well, I actually could have other options too, I guess. So, but,
yeah.
But back to the like cutesy stuff. Okay. I love how, because like the stores are right across from each other, and they have that window. They have the windows opposite each other, and like they grew up, like they do the charades. Like, how adorable is that?
Yes, they did charades out. They did charades out the windows to each other across the street, and that was just super
it's so
sweet.
Cute. And they make up like their own signals and things, like to understand what the other one is saying, and then they like will just do funny things as they go by the window, and it's so cute. And then he always makes her the treats, and always has a treat ready for her at the bakery. And then, okay, here's what was really cute. Here's how you know a guy is a keeper, right? Okay. He got her the notebook that had the oranges on it, which is like, because her grandmother always wore like a citrus scented perfume. And so he got her this notebook that had the oranges on it. Like this is to remind you of your grandmother, and we're going to do the wish notes. And how perfect and adorable is that? I mean, like I couldn't, I was like, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, we think it is, right? We think that's the sweetest moment. Like that's the moment where you're like, oh yeah, she's totally a keeper, and he's totally in love with her. And this is like, but then we get to the end. Oh my goodness. And there's that big surprise at the end when they're at the park and they're having the ceremony at the park.
Right.
And he renames the park after her grandmother. And then he tries not to take credit for it. He tries to be all humble, but then the other lady's like, no, no, no. This was all Kai's idea. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, that's the sweetest thing. He renames the park after her grandmother. I mean,
yes.
There were just no words after that.
Yeah, no. I mean, he was super sweet, and they were so cute together. And I have to say, it was hilarious after they finally got together, and then they were like walking around the community together, and like everybody was like, finally. And then like they had, I think there was even one point somebody was like, oh, they finally got together, and then somebody was like, wait, haven't they been together this whole time? Like, People were either like, wait, they weren't together, or like, oh, you guys finally did it. Like, you're finally together.
It's so hilarious. Because even like her friend, like all throughout the book is like, hello, what's going on here? When are you two going to get together? Please, you know, like, just do it already.
Yes,
I love
and
it.
I have like, for our next section, one of my favorite quotes was from her.
Okay. I bet I can imagine which one it was. Let's go to the quotes now, shall we? There were so
Yes.
many funny, hilarious, adorable quotes in this book that I just could not, like, I have a huge list. Eek, but it's fine. All right. You do one, then I'll do one. We'll go back and forth.
Okay. So the first quote I want to share was the female friend that she made. So they're talking and she's like, I believe she also thought that they were together. And when she found out that they weren't together, she's like, why? And Leah is like giving all of these reasons. And she's like, why do you think that he likes me or something like that? She's like, I have eyes. But the quote from the other girl was, Kai is a hot baker. He's a cinnamon roll who can make cinnamon rolls.
I totally have that one on my list as well because it is hilarious.
It is. It's so perfect.
Oh my gosh. It is. I mean, yeah. Like if you're going to describe Kai, that's how you do it right there.
Yeah, no, he's just so sweet. Oh
I
my
love
gosh.
It.
I couldn't.
Okay. So my first one is what her grandmother says, what Leah's grandmother says to her that would always help make her feel better. Cause it's super sweet. She would always tell her, you are the night sky that other people can shine against. And it's just like, it's just such a sweet thing to say. And it's just so beautiful saying like, you are this fantastic person and you make other people better and feel better about themselves. I'm like, how awesome of a compliment is that too? It's so cool.
Yeah.
It's just sweet.
Yeah.
It's one of those sweet ones. All right. What's your next one?
Okay. So my next one is, this is when she's having the conversation in the lantern shop with the other grandma lady. And she's asking why, Leah is asking why she has decided to like step out or like finally start dating again after all these years. And she says, you, Leah, who always listens with both ears and eyes, you ask questions. You're not here out of pity or the wrong place, wrong time, but because of curiosity, friendship, and interest. You always tell me to make a wish for myself. So I finally did. And I was just like, oh.
I love that. For me,
that was kind of the, because sometimes you question in romances, like, why do these characters like each other? Sometimes in romance, we question, like, why the characters like each other. For her, we got plenty from her point of view for, like, why she liked him. And for him, like, he said, like, how generous she was and those kinds of things. And this was just, like, more proof of that for me.
Yeah.
That it was, that's how she really is as a person because there's other people who see her that way.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. My next one is Kai. Okay. And he's talking about how, you know, he loves being a baker and that people used to make fun of him, but then he realized that he didn't really care. Like, well, he said it hurts a little bit, but then he says, I've realized that my view is if you care that much that I'm a guy who loves baking, I'm perfectly fine with you not wanting to get to know me. In fact, I prefer it. Maybe it also helps that Leah once said that a guy who can bake is sexy.
Simple. It's very simple.
And then, okay. And then what happens after that is he talks about that show I love this show. The reality TV show, America's Hottest Buns, where contestants mix roll in frost wearing nothing but an apron.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, if I'm going to put money towards a reality show, that's it.
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great British Bake Off. Who's that?
Oh my goodness. All right. Do you have any other ones?
Let's do one more.
Okay.
Okay. So, this was a quote from Leah. So it's, I have not replaced, and I can't say grandmother, so I'm just going to say grandmother. I have not replaced grandmother. She is still a part of this because I asked Kai, who loved her, who would see the fingerprints she left behind.
Oh my goodness, I love that.
Mm-hmm. So it was just super, super sweet.
Okay. All right, here's one of those funny ones. When they're when Kai and Leah are having this like moment where they're talking and they talk about her, they're like updating each other on a wish, and then they end up getting talk about his dad and like the fishing vest and stuff, and then she pats his arms and it says, I pat his arm a few times in sympathy, definitely not noticing how toned it is.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There were so many mentions of his like hot baker's arms.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. I loved it. It was like, that was, oh my goodness, just too funny. Okay, see here. And then, ready? One of these like magical things that, she says this one. It's the same chapter. Wait. No, he's saying it. So it's the same chapter. They're having this conversation, right? And he's like revealing himself. And then he says, so many terrible things happen every day, and I often want to hide away, lose all hope, and somehow you come along and make me believe in the good of people again.
And
even after that, Leah's like, I can't talk. I'm too overwhelmed. Because Aww. Why could you not be? I mean, it's just fantastic. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. Mm-hmm. They have all these just amazing quotes to each other. And there's one more that I wanted to read again too. Oh wait, I just found another one though on the way to the next sweet one. When they're outside. And it's like chilly outside. I think it was when they were like testing the water lanterns for the first time. And she's chilly, and he asks her if she's cold, and he's taking off like his long sleeve like zip hoodie or whatever to give to her, and it says, it clings to his tee beneath, and they both lift up, gracing me with a peek of the V at the base of his abs. Yeah, I'm definitely not cold anymore. I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah, no, blush.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Here's the one I really, this one shows you like how close they are and how much they have feelings for each other. She says, not having him for those few months was like missing a piece of myself, painful enough that I never want to risk losing him again. And Kai is not just my support system, but also my living, breathing, loving conduit to Nanai, her grandmother. Losing him means losing her even more than I already have.
No, and I just realized as you were reading that we forgot to say what Kai's side of the incident was.
Oh yes, we did forget that.
Okay, so this part is super important. So I had said that like she had was choking on the boba was why she threw up. Well, from Kai's side of the table, he apparently didn't realize that she was choking, and in that like worst of worst times that you could pick, also asked her out on a date or went to tell her that he likes her, and then she threw up all over him. So in his mind, that was her reaction to getting asked out on a date by him, was
Oh,
that she was so grossed out by it that she threw up and ran
man.
away and then didn't speak to him for a couple months, when it was that she was just so embarrassed. And it's like, oh no,
And then
and we go.
she didn't even hear him. She didn't even hear him
No,
do
because he
that.
was choking.
Because it's hilarious, because I actually just ended up opening up to that page because I had a different quote marked on that page. And she says, he's like, she's like, I didn't think that you would be interested. I don't want it to affect our friendship. And he's like, of course I'm interested. This is all I ever wanted. I'm just in shock, but I didn't think that you wanted to be with me. And then he's like, and then so then he explains it because she's like, what are you talking about? Well, you threw up when I asked you out. You asked me out? I didn't hear you. I was choking on the boba. It's this whole
Yes,
thing.
it was such a slapstick moment. Like, wait, what? Who said what?
It's like, it's such a like perfect rom-com situation, you know, like especially that scene, because she's trying to tell him, she's finally gotten up the courage to tell him how she feels about him. And she starts the conversation, like she has this whole thing planned in her head, of course, because we all do these things. And then she's like, Kai, you're a person. He's like, okay, good to know. Thanks. And she's like, no, that's not what I meant to say. He's like, you're my person. You're a person. Like, oh my goodness.
Wasn't she going for like, you're a great guy, or
Yes.
you're my person? Like,
You're
she
my
combined
person.
the
Yeah. Like, she wanted to say, like, you're my person. You're the one who I do all the things with and who means the most to me and all this stuff. And then she just said, you're a person.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's like,
Thank you for letting me know.
thanks. Oh, and then they have a whole conversation, and it's just like the best thing. And then she ends up asking him out, which is super cute also. And he's like, of course, are you crazy? So it's so fun. Let me tell you, I want this to become a movie, like in
Oh,
a
it would be
desperate way.
adorable.
However, here's the thing. The only way that I would actually accept it would be if Gloria Chow herself was involved in the whole process, so that we know for sure that it would maintain its absolute adorable, perfect perfection.
It would need that.
You can't put this in somebody else's hands because then it would change and that would not be okay. You can't change this. You change this, it's going to ruin it. It's just so sweet and magical and just fantastic. So,
Yes.
one of the reviews on the back of this, because I have the arc. I don't know if the reviews are on the back of the actual one, but on the arc, it's got the reviews on the back and it says, it feels like a warm hug. And it really
It
does.
does. It does. It really does.
Like, that's definitely how I felt reading this book. It just made me so happy. It really did.
Yes, and it gives you all the warmth. Like, it just gives you the warm fuzzies.
I just like, this is going to be my book that I'm going to go back to over and over again when, not just because it's cute and I loved it, but because when I need a good feeling pick me up, I'm going to go back to this book.
You can use it as a palate cleanser.
Yes, because I do need those from time to time, you know?
Yeah.
I just did that recently with something else. I don't remember what it was, but I read something and was like, ooh, I need a palate cleanser for the after this one. I need a happy, nice book.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Sometimes you need those. So this will be that for me. And my like, this will just make me happy. I'm going to keep all of my marks on it, my sticky notes, so that I can just open it up and like look at these quotes and be like, oh, yes, thank you. I can just look right at the quote that I need. So
Yeah.
also, okay, because I am that person who, when I was growing up, there were nine planets. Okay. Pluto was a planet when I was growing up. And so I loved that there's this quote that their friend says, maybe it's Eric, when they're talking about writing wishes on a lantern. And he says, I'm going to wish for Pluto to become a planet again. Yep. That just made me happy. That tiny little.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gloria Chow, for that line. You made me so happy with just that one line. That was it. But anyways. Okay. Well, any final thoughts before we close this out?
No, I think I have expressed like a million times tonight that it was so cute. So I don't think I can say it anymore.
I mean, like, seriously, that's really like all you can say. Oh, wait, see, Amiko Jean on the front of this book, it says, this book is pure joy. Yep, it is. Mm-hmm. This book is just happiness and joy wrapped up in a cute, adorable, beautiful package, by the way, because this cover is gorgeous too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all you can say. It's just a happy book. Well, thank you so much, Morgan, for reading this and doing this chat with me. Super fun.
Yeah, no, this was so fun.
Yay. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And as always, we will chat again soon.
Today's episode featured the book When You Wish Upon a Lantern by Gloria Chow. Be sure to follow YA Book Chat on Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get your episodes as soon as they are available. Have you checked out the YA Book Chat Patreon? You should. There are lots of great perks for members. YA Book Chat was created by, is hosted and edited by me, Leah Stuhler.